This is a well-known story, isn't it? We all know at least the feeding the 5,000 or the 3,000 that occurs a couple places in the Bible, and some of the details are a little bit different, but of all of the miracles of Jesus, this is the one that most people know. And it is in every gospel, all four gospels. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and by the time it's over, 5,000 men. Now, you notice he only mentioned the men, but the men would have had their spouses and their families with them. So we're talking about a vastly larger crowd that had been fed and satisfied, and there were 12 baskets of leftovers collected. So how did Jesus do that? I have no idea. I mean, one suggestion, and I like this suggestion, is that these folks all traveled and they had some food with them, but they didn't want to share it with anybody because they didn't want to run out themselves. But Jesus telling them to sit down together and that they all were going to be fed, they all felt a little bit guilty. They opened up their picnic baskets and they shared with each other. I love that story. I mean, if that's true, okay, I can live with that. That's fine. But the reality is, I don't need to know how it happened. I'm content to just remain blissfully ignorant of all the details, just happy to celebrate that this was a special moment. This was a miraculous moment with all those people there in the countryside outside Bethsaida, and they were fed and there were leftovers. It's a wonderful, wonderful story of the provision of Jesus Christ. But I want to bring your attention to one small detail that is very easy to overlook. In the story that you've heard so many times before, in verse 14, Jesus says, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." You know what that means, right? Nobody ate alone. I'm sure that there were some there who would have preferred to be alone. Some who had come for healing and had heard about this wonderful miracle worker and the things that he could do. They were not interested in just some idle chit-chat around a ham sandwich. They just did not want any of that kind of thing. Some were feeling guilty who'd come to hear this teacher in a search for solace, who might have not appreciated having to explain why they were there to other people. There were some that were grieving and would have been content to be left quietly in solitude. Some were just plain shy or introverted and not all that comfortable being forced to open up to new acquaintances. In other words, this was a 5,000 plus of normal people. There were those normally people there on that day that are also here on this day. Make them sit down in groups because no one eats alone. And that was by design. There's something about the gospel that is utterly and completely communal. Jesus started by gathering people around him, 12 friends, and relied on them to help spread the word. And as time came for him to end his earthly ministry, his instructions were to get out of there and make more disciples, more friends, and we call that the Great Commission. The result of that instruction was the formation of where you are right now, the formation of the church. More friends gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. And even now, in our Presbyterian tradition, the two sacraments that we regularly celebrate, baptism and the Lord's Supper, are all done communally. Baptism is our official introduction into the community, and the Lord's Supper is the way the community is nourished and sustained. But no one is baptized by themselves. No one enjoys the Lord's Supper by themselves. The church forces us to get out of our isolation. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian, and for that matter, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Jesus said, make them sit down in groups. Now, I will tell you that throughout my ministry, that one of the things that people know about me is that I do not like to eat alone. Never have, never will. I will go and chat up. Well, you know, I'm very shy, so I will chat up strangers wherever I go, you know. But I will sometimes just skip a meal, which is not a good thing to do if I have to eat by myself. And so I, you know, now that we can carry cell phones with us everywhere we go, at least I can, you know, have a screen to look at when I'm all by my lonesome. But if any of you ever want to take me out to lunch, it's okay. I don't mind doing that. But But anyway, but this week, Deborah and I had an opportunity to go to a sushi bar. What a great place, right? I love sushi. And there's something inherently communal about a sushi bar that when you come in and you sit down, the guy starts to talk to you, several of them back there, and their English is broken, but yours, Japanese, is terrible. So you have a wonderful time communicating and the people around you. And you, before long, you find out what they're doing and who they are and what they're in from town, from wherever. We met a couple who had been worshiping at a church, a Presbyterian church over in Orlando. And before long, we were swapping stories, our favorite hymns and all kinds of things. It was a wonderful time, and they even promised that they might even come to church here when they're in New Smyrna Beach next time. It's designed, a sushi bar is designed for conversation. It's very difficult to sit by yourself. Furniture and the design is put together to force you into community because nobody eats alone. One of the images the Bible offers of heaven is a banquet. And I can guarantee you that someone coming up to that feast, approaching the head waiter with a request for a table for one, please, will hear, sorry, none available. Fred Craddock, one of America's great teachers of preaching, he was with Emory Seminary up in Atlanta for many, many years. He taught countless preachers their craft. And I had the opportunity to hear him many times, and just a remarkable storyteller. But he tells the story of breakfast. He was stuck in Winnipeg, he said, Winnipeg, Canada, just about this time of year and in the middle of a spring snowstorm. It was just kind of unpleasant up there. And it was paralyzing the city and everything was shut down. And his host couldn't even make it to his hotel to pick him up and take him to breakfast. So for breakfast, Fred found himself in a crowded bus depot just about two blocks from his hotel. And as he entered, somebody scooted over and let him sit in a booth. A big man with a greasy apron came over to the table and asked him what he wanted. Not knowing that the cafe served, Fred asked to see a menu. Well, what do you want with a menu? The man said, we have soup. Well, then I guess I'll have soup, Fred said. Just what he wanted, soup for breakfast. And the man brought the soup, and Craddock says it was an unusual-looking soup. It was gray, the color of a mouse. He did not know what was in it, but he took his spoon and he tasted it, and it was awful. I can't eat it, he said to himself. So he sat in that crowded cafe, warming his hands around the bowl, railing against the world, stuck in Winnipeg. And then the door opened and somebody yelled, "Close the door!" And she did. A woman came in. She was middle-aged. She had on a coat, but no covering for her head. Someone scooted over and let her into a booth. The big man with the greasy apron came over, and the whole cafe heard this conversation. What do you want? What do you want to eat? Well, bring me a glass of water, she said. The man brought the water, took out his tablet, and repeated the question. What do you want? Just the water. Lady, you got to order something. Just the water. And the man's voice started rising. Lady, I've got paying customers here waiting for a place. Now order just the water. You're ordering something or you're going to get out. Can I stay and just get warm? Order or get out. So she got up. And the people at the table where she was seated got up. And people around her got up. Folks that let Fred sit at the table got up. Fred got up, and they all started moving towards the door. Okay, the big man with the greasy apron said she can stay, and everybody sat back down, and he even brought her a bowl of soup. And Fred asked the man sitting next to him, who is she? I never saw her before, he said, but if she ain't welcome, ain't nobody welcome. And then he said all that he could hear was the sound of people eating that soup. Well, if they can eat it, I can eat it. And he picked up his spoon and he started eating the soup. He said these words. He said, it was good soup. I ate all of that soup. It was strange soup. I don't remember ever having it. And as I left, I remembered eating something that tasted like that before. That soup tasted like bread and wine. I wished that had happened in a church. But sometimes it does. And maybe here. Maybe this church. Maybe. Communion Sunday. here we are, and Jesus says, make them sit down in groups. No tables for one. The Lord's table is a great gathering of friends, old friends that we have known for years, new friends who may have just come into us from perhaps in the cold, whom we rarely know anything about, but friends that we can get to know better. And our meal is hosted by one whom the scriptures described as a friend who sticks closer than a brother. When we sit and we eat together, something special, something wondrous happens. Maybe here, maybe this church, maybe now. Let us pray. Oh God, we are grateful that you call us together and for the table to which you invite us. Help us to feel our togetherness, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.